All right, good morning. My name's Jonathan. Welcome to Living Vine. I'm so glad you're here. We are excited to be a part of what Jesus is doing here at Living Vine and what he's doing in our lives and through our lives and beyond our lives. And I think my hope for you today could be summed up in a Jewish blessing. Many of you may be familiar with this or you've heard this blessing before, but it's real simple. It goes like this. May you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. Have you ever heard that? May you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. Meaning, like back then, if you had a rabbi, you were following them, and that the desire would be to follow them so closely, you'd be leaned in so close, every step he took, everywhere he walked, every word he talked and said, you heard and you leaned into it, and by the end of the day, you'd be at home, and you'd be covered with the dust that got kicked off the sandals of your rabbi. Now, to put a more full expression to this, since Jesus is more than a teacher, he's more than a rabbi, maybe my hope today could be summarized like this. May you be covered in Jesus today. Just covered in him. Whatever that means. May you be covered in his love today. If he needs to convict you and uncover something today, may you hear that as an full expression of his truth given to you in love and grace, that you would receive that fully from him because he loves you. Now, that is obviously more than a work we can do in and of ourselves. That takes Jesus working in us. It takes more than listening and learning and even applying the truths of God, which is truly, that's really important, to listen, to learn, to apply. That is part of it, right? But we need something more than that. We need divine intervention. We need Jesus to enter that space, enter those words, and give and breathe life into them, and take that reality, take those ideas, and turn them into truths in our lives so that we can experience him fully and completely. Now, that is beautifully summarized in this picture we see in John 15. I'll just look at verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So here is the picture. It's beautiful. It's probably the clearest, one of the clearest illustrations we see in all of Scripture. Jesus nails it. He's like, I am the vine. You are the branches. I'm going to abide in you. You are going to abide in me. My life, Jesus' life, is going to come into my life and stick and stay and abide. And in that Jesus' life is going to flow into my life. And I'm going to experience Jesus' life to the fullest expression of it. And from that is going to come out of those branches fruit. And that fruit is going to be Christ-shaped and Christ-formed. That's a clear picture to see in this story, in this text. It's a great idea. I can see the idea. I can even understand the idea. But how does that idea actually become a reality in my life? Well, for us to get into that, I want to talk around the text and understand this text, to understand John 15 and what he's talking about, this living vine, this abiding in Christ and bearing fruit and not being able to do anything apart from him. To understand that, we need to see the context all around this story in John 15. I know you're familiar with it. You might be familiar with what's going on, but let's make sure we're on the same page, okay? So when Jesus shares this story, he's in the upper room. It's the night before he's crucified. He's with his disciples, and he is breaking down some stuff that he's been dripping into their ears for a while, but now I feel like it's like really taking shape. They're really starting to hear it. He says things like, hey, you're going to do greater things than I've done, but I'm not going to be here. I'm going to die. I'm going to go be with my father. I really want to go see my father. I'm going to be with him, so I'm not going to be here, but don't worry. I'm going to leave you a helper. Oh, you know, I can envision the disciples right now, like, now this is super important. Right now, Jesus is introducing the helper, the Holy Spirit, to them. But if you can imagine, their minds, their hearts are swirling as they've heard all these things Jesus is saying. He's about to leave. He's about to die. He's about to leave them. But he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you a helper. And I can just envision somebody like me, a disciple, saying, hey, a helper. He's like, oh, a helper. That's really great. He's just mouthing it to the other disciples. Like, wow, gee, thanks. Big deal. Okay, who's this going to be? All right, have you ever had a great teacher in your life? Like, you go to school and you're like, 1 out of 7 hours is going to be awesome because of this teacher. And you show up to their class, and guess what? They're not there. And you get the sub. Now, I went to a public school, so one of our subs was rarely sober. We were all convinced. All right? Like, this guy is, like, just as disappointed and frustrated about being there as we are, okay? I mean, he didn't even remember he was on the list. Like, his wife comes out and says, honey, the school called, huh? What? The school? What? What do you? Oh, yeah. And he shows up. You remember Jack Black in School of Rock? He comes in. He's like, hey, Miss Dum Dum ain't your teacher today. I am, and I have a headache. He says a little bit more, but that's what's going on, and the disciples are feeling that. Like, what is going on? Who is this helper? Who is the sub? You ever played Uno? Everybody? Uno, okay? I don't know why I said that twice, but... You know, it's like, okay, you're going, and you're in the flow, right? You're like, oh, everybody's got green. We got green. Hey, man, if this keeps up, green is going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to run out green. And then, boom, here comes the wild card. The wild card goes down. Change the color. If I were to paint the Last Supper, it would be all the disciples, which nobody's ever going to let me do this, but all the disciples would be holding green Uno cards. And Jesus would be winking and holding the wild card. Boom! Change the color. Color's red. Nobody has red. He's changing the game on them. They're like, what's happening here? Have you ever experienced that? Now, while we're speaking of wild cards, let's just go ahead and hit it while we're at it. He's bringing up the Holy Spirit. He's introducing the idea of the Holy Spirit. So my question to you right now is, what has been your impression and understanding of the Holy Spirit up until this point in your life? Okay? Maybe you're like, well, I've never seen him, so I don't really understand him. Okay, that's actually a fair argument. Maybe you think he's for the spiritual elite, like Christian Jedis. Only Christian Jedis get him. If you get to a certain level of spiritual maturity and understanding, then you get the Spirit. And some of you are like, the only verse I've memorized is Jesus wept. So I might, when will the day come that I actually get the Spirit? Maybe that's your misunderstanding. While we're talking about Star Wars and Jedis, may the 4th be with you. And also with you, which is unfortunately has misshaped our understanding of the Spirit. Sometimes we actually look at him and think maybe he is just this force that can be wielded by specialized, highly trained spiritual people. And they wield it to do special things and certain things, and it goes out in certain ways. And maybe that's your understanding, that it's a force and it's impersonal and it's not personal. Maybe you're like, hey, I think this is just for more charismatic type people that would rather experience God than understand God. And so your Trinity might feel more like this functionally. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scripture. Because I don't understand the Spirit, but I can read the Scripture. I can study the Scripture. I can memorize it. I can do it. That is sometimes where we've landed when we think about the Holy Spirit. And we kind of keep him at arm's length because there is some element of a wild card. Jesus, in fact, says he kind of moves like the wind. You don't know when he's going to come and how he's going to come. And so some of us are like, man, I'd rather live according to the Word, but I'm not sure I want the Word to change me. I want to live according. I want my kids to obey. Like, hey, I want it when it works. Hey, you obey, you go to bed on time. I want to live according to the Word, but I'm not sure I'm ready for the Word to change me. I'm holding all green right now. I do not want Jesus to come in and throw down this wild card and interrupt what's going on in my life. might be miserable. I might be shocked. So, anyway, all that said, those are the types of things that I feel like we deal with and think about, some misunderstandings, maybe some confusion about what is the Holy Spirit. Well, despite what you think, maybe even despite if you're even slightly confused about who the Holy Spirit is, the comfort we can take right now is Jesus is in no way confused about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not confused at the fact that the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary in our lives. And right now, in this moment, as heavy as it is on the disciples, he's introducing them to the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And when he does it, he's going to show them who he is, what he's doing, and why. Okay? So we're going to work through some scripture. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's quite a few texts that we're going to hit. And it may feel like a lot, but actually what you're going to see is a consistent pattern. It's all moving in one direction to give us a clear understanding and get a really clear idea of who this Helper is, who the Holy Spirit is, what he's come to do, and why. So looking at the text surrounding John 15, we're going to be in John 14. So if you want to look at it, you want to listen along, however you want to go at it, again, remember, there's going to be a pattern. It's going to be consistent and clear. John 14, verse 15, he says, "Hey, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Now, he describes this helper in verse 7 as the Spirit of Truth. And he goes on to say, this Spirit of Truth, the world doesn't know, but you know him because he dwells with you and he's going to dwell in you. Okay, so that's for the first part of John 14. Now move on to verse 25. He says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. Here he goes again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Wow. All right, that's amazing. Now, going on to chapter 15. This won't last long, I promise, but it's beautiful and it's clear. So in chapter 15, now we know he gives us this beautiful picture of what it looks like to abide and to dwell and to bear fruit. In verse 15, he says, all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I have made known to you. But you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So he says, I've given you all that I've heard from the Father. I've made known to you. I've chosen you. I've appointed you that you would bear fruit, and that fruit would abide. In other words, that fruit would, just like that abiding that Jesus is taking place, that connection, that fruit that's going to come out of your life is going to be Christ-shaped, Christ-formed, and it is going to be lasting. It is going to be amazing. It is going to produce lasting, positive results in the kingdom, really. Sorry, I got off. I love this. Okay, anyway. So, and then he goes on to say right after that, so I'm going to give you something, and you're going to share it, but what does he say? The Helper's going to come. And when I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, and when that happens, you will bear witness. You will bear witness. That is how the fruit is going to be shared. You will bear witness. Because you have been with me from the very beginning. So everything I've been sharing is going to be made clear to you, be made understood to you through the Spirit, and then you're going to share it. Now, going on to chapter 16, and this is kind of where we'll wrap up with the threading of the text. Chapter 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But here we go again in verse 13. But when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into, or more clearly, really, in all truth. Okay, so what is the pattern we see from chapter 14 through chapter 16? When Jesus is speaking, when Jesus is commanding, whatever Jesus is saying and whatever Jesus has said, it is immediately followed by Jesus saying, there's going to be a helper. The Spirit of Truth is going to help you accomplish this. The Spirit of Truth is going to guide you. The Spirit of Truth is going to teach you. So you're not there alone. You're not going to be in this alone. And there's a very clear pattern here that where there are commands, where he has spoken, the helper is going to come in and really help us understand. I mean, can you imagine? He's going to teach. He's going to guide them in all truth. This is the work of the Spirit. He's going to help them remember. Hello, could I have used that in class? He's going to help them remember. Think about this. He's been with them for 3 years. They don't have smartphones. They can't. There's not a tech guy in there that's like, hey, we could record all this right now. There's an app. The AI app? Is there? I don't know. I literally don't. But it will summarize everything he said. It will break it down. I mean, when he's resurrected, we'll have the Bible we'd be printed ready to go. They'll be selling like hotcakes. I mean, there was no recording. Those 3 years, you know, that was a whirlwind. They were following him. The dust was covering them. But could they remember all that? So he's saying the Spirit is going to help teach you. The Spirit is going to help remind you and help form and shape what I have said to you in a clear way. Not just to convey ideas, not just to download ideas and form a narrative, but really because he is the living God dwelling in you, and he wants them to experience him fully and completely. So that is just in a nutshell what the Spirit's doing. That is what Jesus is very clear when he's describing the helper to the disciples. He is going to help them understand these truths. Now, he also, another thing we can understand here is that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are in absolute unity with one another. Look back at chapter 16, verse 13. Now, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. Now, this is key right here. For he will not speak on his own authority. That's super important, okay? In other words, there's no different authority. There's no division of authority. The Holy Spirit's not coming and say, that's great, really appreciate what you did, Jesus, now it's my time to shine. I got some other things to say. No, he's not speaking in his own authority. He's in unison. He says, whatever he hears, talking about the helper, the Holy Spirit, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. The focus is going to be on Jesus. And he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. There is a singular focus taking place. There's no division. There's no like, hey, I want to do my thing. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in absolute unity. Their focus is singular. They want to draw our attention. They want to draw our affections to one and only one, Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And this is so important for us to see. There's no confusion here. There's not going to be any new information. Really, the truth is, like everybody that preaches, we don't have new material. We are operating through the truths of God's Word, right? The Holy Spirit is not trying to bring anything new to the scene. No new material, no new voice. It is one voice focusing everyone's attention, their hearts, their lives, their minds on Jesus. Why? Because when you see Jesus, you understand it all. It all unfolds. He says even in John 14, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you want to understand the Father, you watch me and you watch my life because I've been dependent on him all along. You want to see the Father's expression of love to you. It's made full and complete in Jesus and His gift of Jesus to you. So if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the deal. Here's the beauty. The only Jesus we have ever seen, the only Jesus the disciples saw, the only Jesus the witnesses around Him saw, was a Jesus who was absolutely dependent and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if you've seen Jesus, you also are seeing and understanding the Spirit. Now we see this in Luke 4:14. Jesus has been baptized, the Spirit has come upon Him, He's led Him into the wilderness, and He comes back. And in Luke 4:14, this is what it says. Jesus returned, coming back out of the wilderness, He returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. No one has ever seen Jesus outside of His dependency and the empowering of the Holy Spirit in His life. He walks into the synagogue. He unrolls a scroll, which actually was the reading of that day. Beautiful, Isaiah 61. And what does it say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed. And then he wraps it up, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is beautiful. And when he finishes, he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. And what we see is Jesus, what we hear in John, it says Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And accurately speaking and thinking, look, guys, it's what it means is, what he's saying is, this Jesus who dwelt among us in the flesh came in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so wherever he went, what do we see? We see Isaiah 61 being fulfilled. We see healing taking place, not just physical healing. They were experiencing freedom from lifelong patterns of thinking, lifelong patterns of fear, lifelong patterns of anxiety, lifelong patterns of desires, where they were entrapped, where things were sucking the life out of them. Jesus came and spoke, and they experienced life like never before. They experienced conviction of sin, but it was directly and immediately followed with an opportunity for spiritual renewal, spiritual life and awakening. Darkness was being rolled back and light was being ushered in. The Spirit-filled, Spirit-dependent, Spirit-empowered Jesus had come in the flesh. And because He was empowered by the Spirit, because He was dependent on the Spirit, there was nothing holding Him back. And so wherever He went, people were experiencing life. People were experiencing like a river flowing. The river that we see in Ezekiel 47 is a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of actually what's happening. And it says, wherever the river flowed, there was life. Wherever the river flowed, there was life. You could see, you can envision this river running through an arid desert. You can see it wherever it went, even into the Dead Sea, it would bring life. It was bringing life wherever it went. That is Jesus. That is Jesus' ministry. And that ministry was a Spirit-filled, Spirit-dependent, Spirit-empowered Jesus. Amen? Amen? I mean, that's beautiful. And so when you see that, I just want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit's like, man, this is amazing. Why would I change the game plan at all? No. He's in line and in tune with Jesus. And when Jesus says, I'm sending you a helper, what he's really saying is, hey, this isn't ending. What's been happening is going to continue, and it's actually going to continue in and through your life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is coming to dwell inside of you. So that river would flow in and through your life and move out into the world, that His kingdom would come here on earth through us. empowered and dependent on the Spirit. I don't even know where I am here. That's Jesus. All right, well, let's say, all right, the disciples are like, all right, okay, cool. Is this really going to happen? Well, it does. We see it happen. In Acts 1:8, or Acts in general, the beginning of Acts, he said, he says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what does it say? When that happens, you will bear witness in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What are you going to bear witness about? Who are you going to be talking about? Jesus. The life-giving, life-changing story. The person of Jesus. And we've been talking about Peter. We've referenced Peter the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to do it again. Peter, who with his voice denied Jesus three times. Jesus restores Peter. When the Spirit comes down, it does feel kind of like a force. It feels like fireworks. I mean, tongues being spoken, like people are like, what's going on? What is happening here? Are these people drunk? is the sub here? Peter, it says, lifts up his voice. This is so powerful. This is the gospel. This is Jesus at work making an idea a reality in Peter's life, and he speaks up. This man who rejected Jesus, he denied Jesus, is now taking his voice, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and saying, hey, let me tell you what's really happening here. This is Jesus, Jesus' work. Jesus is at work, and he tells them the story. He proclaims the gospel, and what does it say? It says it cuts them to the heart. And he says, repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And right then and there, it takes place, and 3,000 souls. You know, it's... Johnny was just talking about how many people have been impacted and changed and transformed by Jesus. 13.5 billion. And right here in this moment, Peter speaks, and 3,000 lives are changed, filled with the Holy Spirit. Their lives are being renewed and restored and brought to life. And they're going to go out and share the truths and the words. They're shaped by Jesus. And so, what happens here? Jesus told them that night, he said, hey, you're going to do greater works than me. And they're like, what are you talking about? And sometimes people get worked up about that and they think something unique and different is happening. What he's saying is, you're going to keep doing what I've been doing. Only it's going to make this tremendous impact. Jesus was hanging out in one region, sharing his story, sharing his life. Now it's going to move beyond him in a much greater way, geographically, demographically. As we already said, the numbers go from whatever Jesus did in that three-year period to one, in one sermon, the lives of 3,000 people are transformed. So there's the works that are greater are being described by a geographical spreading of the gospel. Numerically, it's growing. And the duration of Jesus' ministry was 3 years, and now it's up to what? 2,000 plus years? That's the greater work he's talking about. The work is just going to keep going in and through our lives. So we can rest in Jesus' confidence in the Holy Spirit. And his confidence and his dependence on the Holy Spirit should reflect how we have confidence and dependence on the Holy Spirit. Here's a couple of ways to just work that out practically as we wrap up. One is, in John 16, it says the Spirit's going to come. When he comes, he's going to convict the world of sin, concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So in a nutshell, what he's saying is, it's the Spirit's job to convict. It's the Spirit's job to convince. That means the pressure's off. That means I can just come up here and faithfully proclaim the truths of God's word. I don't have to do anything new. I don't have to do anything flashy or fancy, and neither do you. You just get to share the words that Jesus has given, the life that he gave, the life that he continued, the words that he gave. He gave them, he taught them, he brought to remembrance all things so it could keep moving forward into our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just get to share that. And it's the Spirit's job to convict. It's the Spirit's job to convince. And that's hard to trust him. But we can do that. And we don't have to go outside the work of Jesus for the Spirit to do his thing. And I would just say this even more clearly. I think the Spirit's just better at it than me. I think he's really good at doing it. Sometimes he just knows like when it needs to be gentle and comforting, like a blanket. Sometimes there is coffee and comfort with Jesus in the mornings. I'm just like, thank you for this truth. I just needed it whispered. I didn't need it loud. Like the guys are about to start doing yards all around me. I just need a gentle word of comfort from the Lord, and he gives it. Sometimes, though, it's more like Pitocin. Do you know what Pitocin is? What, now I'm going to mess the rest of it up. It's like it helps induce labor. So if the baby's not come on time, you're trying to get the birthday date right, I don't know, whatever. Whatever's happening, it's like, we need to get this happening. We need to speed it up. Pitocin, and boom, I remember that we only did that once, right? And I went from being asleep, this is never going to happen, to boom, let's go. We got to get to the delivery room. Sometimes the Spirit knows exactly when he needs to induce labor in your life in some place that seems lifeless, some place that you've been running, hiding, wherever it is. He knows when and where. Sometimes he needs to just say, boom, hear this, brother, hear this, sister, and be free. Experience life right now. He knows when to be gentle. He knows when to be urgent. And then lastly, he knows when to be slow and steady and strategic and surgical. I had an accident recently, a car accident, and I got pretty banged up. That's not the point. It's part of the point. I went to physical therapy. You gotta wait a couple weeks. So I go into physical therapy in my gym shorts, my t-shirt, and my running shoes. I'm ready. Okay, whatever you need me to do, I'm gonna do, because I want to get out of here. I want to get on with this. That's exactly what I said to the physical therapist. He's doing an assessment. He's reading my reports, CT scans, all that stuff. Anyway, and I'm like, what can I do to get out of here as fast as possible and get back on track? I'll do whatever. Make me hurt. Make me sweat. I do whatever. I'll do it. And then he gets geeky. And who am I to talk? He's like, hey, here's what happens, man. This isn't like loosening up a muscle because you're 50 and you tried to work out. You had an accident. Your mind, your heart, nothing was ready for that. He said, if we go too fast here, he's like, it's wild, but here's what we're starting to understand about the body and the mind. He's like, if we go too fast, your body is going to actually get confused. If we move the muscles the same way you got kind of bounced around in that car, your muscles are going to say to your brain, we're having another accident. And you're going to go actually in reverse. And it's going to take longer, Jonathan. So we have to work slower and strategically and try and convince your muscles that they're actually safe and there's a way forward. How the Spirit works just like that. Sometimes we just want to tell somebody, man, whatever. Sometimes we want to get ourselves like on track. Sometimes we just don't realize trauma has taken a hold of our lives in a different way. And the Spirit knows that. And the Spirit is working in a way, strategically, smoothly, slow, and steadily, and surgically, to come into that. And to give you a reminder, hey, this is not going to be new trauma in your life. In fact, this is going to be a new birth of new life in you. And only the Spirit knows when and how to do that. And all we can do is be faithful to be continually bearing witness to those around us, those we love, those we care for, and sharing God's word. And sometimes it's gentle, sometimes it's urgent, sometimes it's slow and steady, but it is always pointing to Jesus, in the shape of Jesus, so that it is forming Jesus in us, and that we can bear witness to those around us, and that fruit, that abiding fruit, will be Christ-shaped and Christ-formed and activated in someone else's life to give them life when, where, and how they need it. Well, amen. Lord, do that in us. Let us may we surrender to the work of your Spirit that would activate in us life. May we continue to bear witness, relaxed and resting in you and ready to share your words and trusting that you will do your work in and through us. Amen.